All right, good morning. Good morning. Okay, I'm a frog this morning. On Thursday, something in the air just grabbed me, and I completely lost my voice. And so this morning, I at least can sort of grumble. So I apologize for being such a frog. So I'm going to be on the microphone this morning to help you hear me. It's not fun to listen to a frog, is it? Let's open with word prayer this morning. Our Father, I pray that you would take this lesson and let it land on our hearts this morning. I pray that you will speak to our hearts, even though I sound like a frog. Pray that you would speak through the scratchy words. Thank you for the study. Thank you for every lady here. We just ask your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me see if I can find my voice. Well, we are on our last chapter in our book. So today is our last lesson in this book. And then next week, we're going to begin this book. And it's called Virtuous. It's written by the same author. And I had told the office to order this book about 2 weeks ago, and they were on back order, so they're not in yet. Hoping they'll be here next week. Pardon? Right, our last lesson. I'm sorry, lesson 11. See, I have no business being your teacher. I put the wrong chapter. But what a wonderful study this has been. And I have loved this study. I was talking to someone last week before we started, and she said, oh, do you have any more books? I have a friend who wants one. She had been talking to her friend and telling her friend what a good lesson, what a good book this was. And she said, oh, don't worry. I'll just use yours when you're done. She said, oh, no. No, you don't understand. I'm not going to be done with this book. And I don't know if you're like me, but there are some books that are on our bedside table that we refer to very often. And I think this book is one of those books that we need to read and reread again and again. We need to keep it handy because it's our friend that has powerful information that will help us on our spiritual journeys. So today we come to our last chapter, and it is entitled Choosing Contentment. Now, let me give you a simple picture that is given to us by Jesus that describes to us what a committed Christian life is all about. What does it look like, Teresa? Well, it's actually the words of Jesus, and he speaks them 3 times in the New Testament. But we're going to look at 2 of them this morning out of the book of Luke. So go to your handout, and we're going to start with Luke 9:23-24. I sound worse than I imagined. This is Jesus speaking. He says, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must do 3 things. Now look there. He must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. And then if you go over to Luke 14, 27, you find there kind of the same words in a different way. Let's look at it. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, in that chapter, he goes on to give two examples of what it looks like to follow Jesus. So let's write them down. The first example is a person who's building a house. And he says, you know, no one would ever just start building a house without first carefully planning. You go to an architect. You get your house plans. You calculate the cost of the house. No one just flippantly goes out and starts hammering and building. No, they carefully consider what the cost is going to be. Same way when you follow the Lord. You carefully consider the cost. You just don't flippantly say, oh yeah, I want to follow him. Without understanding, it's going to mean three things. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow him. And then the other example he gives is an example of a king going to war. No king would do that without consulting his generals and wise men to calculate, could he win? If he couldn't win, he would not go. So let's write on our handout. What does it involve to follow the Lord? Well, it's going to involve, number one, total submission to God. That is not an easy thing to do, ladies. But that's what it means to deny yourself and to say yes to God. Because you are going to now confess something. You're going to confess that Jesus is Lord over you. That means master. That means you are my master. I submit to you in everything. And then number two, it means this. It means death. So write that down. That's right. It means death. Now, death is never something we look forward to, is it? I mean, death is not fun. But to follow Christ, you're going to have to die to yourself. That's what it means to take up your cross daily. You die to yourself on a daily basis. The cross is always a picture of death. And then thirdly, it means this. It means total obedience to Christ. That is what it means to follow after him. You're going to learn of him. You're going to follow after him. You're going to give him preference in your life. You know, the word Christian means little Christ. And so that is actually what you are becoming when you follow him. You're becoming a little Christ. Now, what about those three things? Don't you understand? They're fairly simple to understand. But here's the deal. They're very difficult to live out. In fact, it can be downright challenging to live those things out. So, Teresa, why does choosing contentment seem to be so hard for me? Well, that is because when you follow the Lord, it's very costly. Very costly. I submit, I die, and I obey. And those aren't easy things. Well, what's the alternative for me then? Well, instead of submitting to him, I can just be saved, but I can allow my thoughts to just have free reign. I can allow myself to be grumbly. I can allow myself to be cranky. instead of thinking of my blessings and having gratitude in my heart for them and letting that be the main focus, I can always be thinking about those things I don't like about my life. I can always be thinking about those things, and I can be ungrateful. You see, it is possible for us to be truly born again, to be truly women of God, and we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God who's in us. We can quench the Holy Spirit of God who is in us. These are biblical truths that we need to understand. And when that happens, then my life will not express the Holy Spirit's beautiful fruit, and my life will not be contented. What are those fruit? Look on your handout. I think I put them there. Maybe not. They come out of Galatians 5:22. And here they are. There are nine of them. They are love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. But really, the bottom line of it is this. If I choose that route as a Christian woman, see, it's all about our choices. And that's why our title of our chapter is Choose Contentment. If I choose the other route, I'm going to forfeit contentment. And I will be a disobedient daughter. And that will put me in a position for discipline. And discipline is never fun. But the truth about it is this. As I'm living my life, and as soon as I come to the realization, I'm being cranky, I'm being grumpy, I'm being unthankful, that is being disobedient, Teresa. As soon as I come to that realization, I can go to the Lord immediately and immediately be restored. I can say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for that. I don't want to be cranky. I don't want to be discontent. I want to be thankful. I want to be content. And just standing on that one verse out of 1 John 1:9, it is such a promise to us. Look at it on your handout. That if I'll just go and confess my sins, that God is faithful and He's righteous and He'll forgive me and He'll cleanse me. He'll restore me. He's faithful to do that. And my contentment will be restored. Now, let's write down some things about contentment out of our chapter. You see, contentment is not something for just some Christians. Oh, yes, some Christians, but you don't know me. I'm not like that. God didn't wire me that way. Oh, yes, He did. It is something, write it down, that is available for every Christian. Contentment is for you. That's what I'm saying this morning. Here's another thought. Contentment brings peace and quiet to our hearts. In the midst of trouble. That's what you're waiting on. Have any of you had trouble? This means yes. This means no. Yeah, trouble, that's part of the human experience. Very likely you had a lot of trouble this very week. Very likely some of you are involved in a big season of difficulty. And here's what I want to say, and I want us to write it down. Contentment comes when we exercise our God-given control over our own spirits. Contentment comes when we exercise our God-given control over our own spirits. Well, Teresa, how do I do that? Give me some practical things. Well, here comes something. Contentment comes when we quiet our hearts with God's truth. It's a truth that never changes, ladies. And so I come to the unchanging word and truth of God, and I use it to quiet my heart. And then next, I submit to the will of God in my life. You know what I do? I let go of my own demands. I let go of my own temper. I banish envy. I put away ingratitude. So practicing contentment will mean this. It will mean that we choose to be content. It is something that we choose. So put that down. Now it's going to come, and we're going to get better at it when we learn to practice in the little troubles that come to our lives every day. And then as we're practicing with the little troubles, when the bigger troubles arise, guess what? I'm strengthened. I'm ready for the bigger troubles. Because I've been in the spiritual gym, and I've been lifting those smaller waves. And now I'm ready to take on some heavier waves. And one verse that really comforts me as I face the unknown of tomorrow, because I don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't either. I don't want to worry about tomorrow. That can rob me of contentment today. So look at this verse out of 1 Corinthians 10:13. You see, there's no temptation. That Greek word also means trial. There's no trial that has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow. He's faithful, y'all. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, will provide the way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. Is that not a precious promise in the Word of God? So sometimes choosing to be content is going to go against every impulse that I have in my flesh. And yet, even though it's hard, even though I really, really want to choose it, and that is because, you know, living in an atmosphere of discontent is toxic. Have you ever been around a person who's just discontented about everything? It's a toxic atmosphere. I don't want to be that. And you do know that as women, we are the emotional barometers in our home. And if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Is that not true? We are setting the atmosphere. And so when you and I allow frequent little temptations to make us grumpy, to make us critical, to cause us to be unkind, it all will add up to unhappy relationships. It will result in little petty fights breaking out, petty quarrels over things that really aren't important in the whole scheme of things. You see, it's the daily bumps. That's where our peace gets disturbed. Excuse me. And that's where unity in our relationships, and that's where sweet fellowship is very tested. And so as we begin each day, what are we to do? Let's write some things down. Because we want to face our day, we want to be ready. So first of all, we are to anticipate temptations that may come. You know what? You're starting out. And you're resolving in your heart, you know what? I don't know what today brings, but I'm setting my mind to choose contentment. I don't want to be caught unaware. Number two, let's see. I may be a little off. Let me just read my notes. You fill in the blanks. And then we are to rehearse the truth that God's grace is the atmosphere in which I'm going to live and breathe. I'm saved by grace. I'm going to live this day before me by grace. I'm just telling you, this daily thing, girls. This is a daily thing. And then I'm going to choose for myself, this day I will proceed forward in love. Write that down. I'm going to be kind today. Lord, I choose to have a forbearing spirit. You see, I'm anticipating the day, and I'm making choices before the day ever begins. And what is all of this called, Teresa? This is called spiritual warfare, girls. And when you are doing these things, you're training yourself for war. And you see, as you're walking in grace, this is the atmosphere where relationships have the room to flourish. And you know what happens? We become pleasant to live with. And we could be called Naomi, because that was last week's lesson. What was her name? What did it mean? It meant pleasant. Or we can be Mara, which is bitter. She changed her name. Who do you want to be? A Naomi or a Mara in your world? Let's not be so quick to let troubles and interruptions come in and knock us off kilter and rob us of our contentment. For example, do you get frustrated in traffic? I cannot tell you how frustrated I get. I mean, there you are, you're always late, and never fails when you're the latest, you get behind the slowest person who is sightseeing. Oh, look at that house. And you're just behind them, and you are just churning away. What about this one? Do you ever get frustrated? There are four lines at Walmart. Which one to pick? I always pick the wrong one. Always. I say, Lord, you're teaching me something here. It can make me so grumpy. Here's another one. It's Christmas. You have 21 grandchildren, and they're all coming to your house. And it's the coldest day of the year, or it's raining. You know what that means? Everybody's inside, and your house is booming. You need everybody to go outside and play. You know, God's people, we have another option. We don't have to give troubles power and authority over us. We don't have to allow them to destroy our joy. The truth is, they cannot master me unless I let them. Are you listening this morning? And so choosing contentment in the lightweight troubles, practicing contentment there first, helps to help you when the bigger troubles come. Now, here's another thing I want you to add to our list. We need to ask God to help us steward our troubles. Okay, God, this trouble's here. Take me through this trouble in a way that brings honor and glory to your name. Choosing contentment sweetens every circumstance. It makes every circumstance more bearable. And so, contentment, once again, it's a choice that you're going to have to make. Now, you have a helper helping you make that choice, don't you? Who is it? Who's in you? It's the Holy Spirit. And you know, are you ever in a situation where you're going to make that choice? Am I going to lose it, or am I going to manage this in grace? And sometimes our flesh says, girl, go for it. And we just give in our flesh, don't we? But there's also another voice in you. What's he saying? Choose grace. You hear his voice. You feel his prompting. You can depend on the Holy Spirit. He always comes through. It may be at the very last minute, but he always comes through. He never fails us. Now I want to direct you to a verse out of 1 Peter 4. This is a verse directly directed to women. Let's see what it says. Two verses. Verse 3, your adornment must not be merely external. Now, we love that part, don't we? Getting our outsides all pretty. But not just that. Yes, do that. That's a good thing. But look what Peter says. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality, now look, of a gentle and quiet spirit. And then he says this about it. That kind of spirit in a woman, a gentle and quiet spirit, that kind of spirit is precious in the sight of God. You see, when trouble comes, God loves to see us following him and walking in a quiet and calm and gentle spirit, trusting in him. I remember one day, this is a silly thing, but I was holding a baby kitten in my hand, and it was so tiny, and it just nestled in my hand, and it went to sleep in my hand, and I was just walking around this little tiny kitten, and I heard God say very gently in my heart to me, Teresa, you can trust me. You can trust me. I've got you in my hand. I've never forgotten that. Let's write this down. Contentment is comfortable. It's comfortable. It's not easily disturbed. It's not easily disrupted. It's not easily discombobulated. And then let's write this thing. It has control over its own spirit. You say, Teresa, I'm a spiritual person. I just can't control myself. It's just how God made me. And some of us are more spiritual than others. But just imagine you're at your home and you're really in the middle of a huge fight with your husband and someone walks to the door. What happens? Do you continue that big fight? You know why? You have control over your spirit. You may not think you do, but you do. You've got to practice that control. So we're living in this whole chaotic world filled with danger, filled with trouble, filled with violence and increasing evil. What a tremendous advantage for us, girls, if we will learn contentment. It means we won't get rattled, we won't be restless, we won't go off kilter, we don't worry, we're not full of anxiety about what is to come. Because write this down, contentment just bravely, courageously moves forward through all kinds of difficulties with quietness and trust. Now here's something else to write down. Contentment is something that cannot be bought. And then, as we've been seeing, contentment is something that we learn. So I'm going to exhort you this morning. I want you to learn it. I want you to practice it. I want you to look for opportunities to be content. I want you to say, yes, I have this trouble, but I'm going to turn that trouble into profit by way of contentment. I'm going to trust God in it. It's a choice. Women are particularly vulnerable to be discontent. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you don't have a real godly family history. I don't. And maybe you don't have a godly upbringing. Maybe you don't have a happy childhood. Maybe some evil has been done to you. And maybe it causes you to feel shame over times when you were wronged by your parents, or maybe you were wronged by others. And many, many women are discontent with who they are, especially in this age of social media. And if you're like these, I want to just remind you of the woman in Luke 7. She had a very unhappy backstory. She came to wash the feet of Jesus with her tears and her hair, dried his feet with her hair, kissed his feet, anointed him with oil. It happened in the house of a Pharisee named Simon, who was totally indignant over the whole situation. And so Jesus knew what he was thinking, and Jesus told the parable about two debtors. The first debtor owed the man a fortune, owed the king a fortune, and he could not repay. And that king, who was in the parable representing God, forgave that slave. That slave immediately went out, met another servant who owed him a very small debt, but he refused to have mercy. And he was thrown with his family into prison. And God called that unmerciful slave wicked and turned him over to tormentors. And Jesus forgave that woman who had that backstory. He had mercy on her. I want you to hear what he told Simon. Look on your handout. He told Simon, who represents the unforgiving servant. Turning to the woman, Jesus said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And Jesus welcomed her. And Jesus allowed her to come very, very close. But Teresa, you don't know my past. I feel so undeserving of coming to Jesus. And I'm just telling you this morning, come to him. Just come to him, ladies. He is merciful. That is the invitation of Jesus to all of us. He saved her that day. Listen to what he said to her in verse 50. And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Be content." No matter what our past, he gives us the power to move on in grace. Here are some ideas to help us with contentment. Number one, read more books on contentment. That's why I say leave this book on your night table. Let it remind you. Now, this happens the older you get, the more you don't remember. So you have to read and reread. And that will help you. Go to the appendix of that book, and there are a whole list of other books on contentment. Order one or two and read them. I ordered one of them, and oh my goodness, it is written by a Puritan, and they are very, very wordy. And it just takes me so long to read through it. It's just like he took the word contentment and squeezed all the blood out of it. Number two, share what you have learned. Discuss it with your friends, with your family. Share what you've learned. Number three, pray. Ask God to show you where you're falling short, to help you. Number four, real quickly, learn to recognize the restlessness of discontent in your own hearts. Next, expect God to work through all situations in your life for your good. Number six, be a Bible reader. Ask God to speak to you as you read. Number seven, sing, pray, rejoice in the Lord. I'm going fast. Number eight, remember the promises of God. Now, I'm just going to remind you of the two that we started with in our study. We added many more. Put them on cards. Rehearse them. Memorize them. Let's close with the two we looked at. 4:13. Let me borrow your handout because I didn't write this down. Look at Hebrews there. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That is a promise for you. And Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now let's take the rest of our time and work through some of our questions, and then I'll come back up and close us in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this lesson this morning. May we walk out this door as women who have learned the principles of contentment. Make us like Paul to be content in any and every circumstance. And Father, may we be women who choose it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll see you next week as we start our new study.